Hi, everybody, and welcome to Unapologetic. It's a pleasure to have you all here. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm your host, Amla Epinobi, and we got Taylor in the house.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Today, we're going to be talking about something super interesting, and it's the idea of whether or not somebody can be transracial. Now, you might have heard this debate be sparked years ago when we met the likes of Rachel Dolezal, a white woman who claimed that she is actually black and is transracial, started doing her hair and the curls and making her skin a little darker, talking differently, and the world freaked out about it. How dare you say that you are a different race, especially an oppressed one? How dare you take on that identity? It's not possible. It's not real. Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about why these things are not real, and the argument of, well, race is a social construct, as is gender, is what you guys are saying. You know, this is all socially constructed. So if you can be transgender, why can't I be transracial? And I have a feeling we're going to have an issue where these two arguments meet each other, and they cause this brilliant explosion of nonsense, because leftists come at people who identify as transracial and say, how dare you? That is ridiculous. That is stupid. I don't agree with you. But let me argue for why I agree with transgender people and teaching youth about this stuff. And the arguments don't quite make sense. Today, we're going to meet the likes of Ollie London. I'm very familiar with Ollie London because I've been seeing his videos for years. Ollie London is a British white man who identifies as Korean and has gone through a multitude of facial reconstruction, body surgeries, eye surgeries, things like that to make him look more Korean. And he's done this because he was introduced to K-pop, a particular artist by the name of Jimin. Let's pull up a picture of him real quick so the audience can see exactly who we're talking about. Now, this is not Ollie London. This is the Korean K-pop artist that he fell in love with, apparently, and wants to be so much like that he's willing to take on this racial identity and go and get all these facial reconstruction surgeries to look more like he is Korean. Oh, let's take a deep breath for that. I know it sounds ridiculous, and that's what I immediately hear, but I'm going to approach this in good faith. I'm going to, at baseline, assume that Ollie London truly believes that he is a Korean man. I'm going to give him that benefit and say, you truly believe this. Now, let's see if the argument holds water. Let's see if this racially motivated transition is anything worth talking about and whether or not it's defensible. According to leftists, he actually did a recent debate that's been posted on YouTube about 6 days ago that we're going to react to as well, where he meets a black female leftist to talk about his transracial identity. So let's get acquainted with him first. Here's a video of Ollie London talking about being Korean. This has nearly a million views on YouTube.
I just want to take this chance to, come out today. Something that's been like on my mind for a long time, and I've been very confused about how I identify. I've been very, very confused, and
you have to be very, very confused to do something like this. I must say, across the board with all of this identity stuff, you have to be very, very confused. So I have a lot of sympathy for people going through this, because there has to be an immense amount of inner turmoil happening in your body, your mind, your soul, whatever you believe in, that makes you do something like this to yourself. So I will agree with him when he says he's confused.
People online that have come out and been very brave about it and shared their story about how they identify their gender, their pronouns, etc. So, I've taken courage from these incredibly brave people, and it is Pride Month at the moment. So, I thought this was the best time to do it, and add a voice, add strength to the LGBTQ+I community.
He said it's Pride Month, so I think it's the best time to talk about the fact that I'm transracial, because this adds strength to the LGBTQ+ community. Now, I've heard this from a lot of lesbian and gay identifying people saying, you know what, I'm so over this. I'm so over the people who are trying to make up a new identity and come and join our group and add a little letter onto the acronym that we have, and then they get ridiculous and extreme and they're saying all this radical stuff when all we wanted was girls who could like girls and boys who could like boys. And if there's any members of the LGBTQ+ community watching this right now that feel that way, let me know in the comments down below, because I've heard that a lot. They're like, yo, this is not what we signed up for. This is not what we meant when we were talking about representation. I don't want to represent some white British man pretending like he's Korean. Let's continue, though.
So I am going to come out today and say that I've been transitioning. I've been very unhappy with who I am deep down for the last 8 years. And I've had like 18 plastic surgeries now. and I've just had a facelift, a brow lift, a temple lift, an eye surgery, a kenphoplasty, and my teeth then as well. Just these are just part of my transition. I'm feeling really good. For the first time in my life, I feel beautiful. You know, I'm looking in the mirror and I love the way I look and feel happy. And I hope people can respect my decision. It's a very tough decision to come out this way. But I am coming out as non-binary. I don't feel I identify as male or female.
Oh, so this is also a non-binary coming out. So it's being Korean, getting all these facial reconstructive surgeries, which I want everybody to know how intense that is. 18 different facial reconstructive surgeries done on your face, not to mention what clearly looks like evidence of cheek filler, of chin filler, possible Botox going on in the forehead, a bunch of stuff going on here. Plus the facelift, the lip filler, getting his teeth redone in order to assume this new identity that he believes himself to be. That's really, really bad. It's really bad to, again, feel so much inner turmoil that you feel the need to, in ways, mutilate your body to reach this standard that you think is what you were meant to be or what you were born as. And if this is real, although in good faith, I will say it's real, although I believe there are elements, strong elements of attention seeking, because Ollie has been seen all over the world now for this very identity, has been featured by the BBC and all these different news organizations that are calling him and wanting to talk to him about this identity. I believe attention seeking is very much attached to a lot of the things that Gen Z and young people are experiencing right now when it comes to identity. But this is just wild. Attention seeking is one thing. The other thing is going through the process of facial reconstructive surgery to assume this identity. And that's something that he's done. Wow.
I feel like I'm just in the middle. And my pronouns are they, them, Korean, Jimin. Because I know a lot of people don't understand me, but I do identify as Korean. And I do look Korean now. I do feel Korean. I don't identify as British. So please don't referred to me, any media or anyone online, as British, because
he says I identify as Korean and now I look Korean, and don't ever refer to me as British in any media or anything where you talk about me, because that's not how I identify. Babes, you were born there, you got the whole accent going on, you're British. I'm so sorry. That's like me saying, oh, don't call me an American because I identify as being Japanese. Come on, there's only so much room for this. But again, who opened the door for this to be allowed? It's the people who said you can be any gender you want and you can be non-binary. That's what opens the door for these other socially constructed things to come into question. When is time going to come into question? When do I get to look at my phone and go, oh, well, it's 3:09 here where I am right now, but I'm going to say it's 5:09 and everybody else has to act like that's the time that it is right now? And when is age, another somewhat socially constructed feature about ourselves, when is that going to be called into question? When are we going to be able to be trans age, which we've had discussions about that, TikTokers who identify as girls when they are fully grown men? We've seen that happen. So how far do we go on this slippery slope that we're all sliding on every single day now? Let's keep watching.
I identify as Korean. That's just my culture. That's my home country. That's exactly how I look now. And I also identify as Jimmy, and that's my Korean name. But not only that, I know it's a little bit confusing for some people. Nobody's ever come out as Jimin or Korean, but this is something that you guys know if you've followed my journey for the last 8 years. I've really struggled with identity issues, with who I am, you know, with who I am. It's a very tough one. So I've finally had the courage. I've undergone my racial can't think of the word, transitional surgery. You know, I've transitioned to a non-binary person, they, them, Korean, Jimin, and I finally have the Korean look, so I'm actually really happy.
Do you know how offensive this is? And this applies to all trans identities. I'm going to say this, and I do not care. I will not be apologizing for it. That's the name of the show. How offensive it is to go, I identify as something, so now I'm going to check all the boxes of the stereotype of that thing so that I've assumed that identity to the naked eye of other people. So because he identifies as Korean, he's probably going through what skin bleaching processes. He's gotten his eyes surgically slanted up in a way and thinned down. He's gotten his face lifted. He's gotten all this Botox done. He's gotten his nose thinned. He's gotten filler put in his lips because that's what he believes Korean people look like. That's the stereotype that he sees in his eyes because of all these K-pop stars that he watches. And that's the identity that he assumes. Now, think about that and think about how offended one might be to hear that and how all these people on the left and the right go up in arms about transracial identities and say, that's so stupid. How dare you? That's unbelievable. Why is it not the same for gender? Because we've reacted to transgender individuals looking and going, well, I'm a man who identifies as female, so I'm going to get these big boobs and I'm going to get this sort of Victoria's Secret angel plastic surgery done, and I'm going to fill my lips, and I'm going to assume most of them, or at least a lot of them, assume this identity of just like this bimbo type look of that's the stereotype that I've seen from women, this sort of very sexualized presentation. And that's what I'm going to take on because that's what it means to be a woman. That's what he thinks it means to be Korean, to just assume this identity and assume the look. And that's what biological men who identify as women think what it means to be a woman. That's what they think too. Same thing for females who identify as male and suddenly want a beard and they get the top surgery and all that stuff. That's what they think it means to be a man or to be a woman. It should not be okay across the board. Now, of course, adults, and he's an adult, he can do whatever he wants with his body and it should not be judged castigated or things like that for what he's doing. But you cannot tell others to assume your reality. To assume what he's going to say, my truth. You cannot expect other people to look at you and go, oh yeah, you're Korean because you told me you're Korean. So I'm not going to call you British. I'm not going to refer to where you're actually from. I'm just going to call you Korean. The same thing with gender. Oh, you're a woman because you told me you're a woman and because you assumed this very stereotypical presentation of a woman. Oh, sure. No, you don't have to take on other people's truths, which do not exist. We have objective realities, and those are realities that I prefer to live in, and you can choose whether or not you want to, but don't tell me what reality outside of the reality that I have to live in. And that's exactly what's being done here. So again, I ask, what's next? What comes after transracial? Because this is going to continue. I'm sure there's going to be other people more than Rachel Dolezals and Ollie Londons who come out and say these things. And they're going to say, you know, I identify as blank. I've had these discussions in school when I was young. I got asked all the time, well, do you identify as black or do you identify as white? What do you mean? I was born half black and half white. I don't get to go, it's Tuesday. I'm feeling a little white today. I think I'm going to go out with my white personality, with my white look, with my white identity. And then on Thursday, I'll switch back to the black one. No, we simply are what we are. We are what we are born as. And although race is socially constructed, we still live within that social construction. You don't get to just flip-flop around and choose whatever you want. And the influence of K-pop culture and picking a certain celebrity. He said his pronoun is Jimin, which is the name of this K-pop celebrity. You have got to have some sort of delusion and mental illness going on. And the fact that we are now living in a society where we can often not look at things like this and define them as mental illness and talk about them in that light is concerning.
Yeah, what I find fascinating about Ollie is it's almost entertaining for me if it wasn't so sad and disturbing. Yeah. But it's almost entertaining for me to see that he really is just showing woke thinking taken to its logical extreme. In the same way that, like, you know, woke people can sit back and watch Leah Thomas blow out the competition in female swimming, and they can't argue against it because according to woke logic, then this is the right and acceptable thing. And ditto for Ollie London, like what really is, which we're about to see it in a few minutes, but what is the woke argument against someone? Because if truth is subjective and whatever you identify is, it supersedes reality and everyone has to accept your reality, then, you know, if he wants to identify this way, then who are you to take that away from him? If this is his happiness and, you know, if we're going to, is it a threat against his mental health? Are you committing violence against him if you tell him the truth that you're not, you can't be trans Korean, that you have to be the race that you're born as? Is that violence against him according to this logic? And it is. But exactly. Anyway, we'll get into the debate in a second, where a woke person tries to argue against them. But I don't know. This is just an interesting to see their own logic turn in on itself.
Yep. Just to watch the cracks form and then ask yourself, who opened the door for this to be of a discussion? And it's certainly not us. We are not the ones who opened this door. Just to tie things up here, we're not going to finish the rest of that Ollie London video because I want to get to his recent debate. But Ollie London, here's out of Newsweek. Transracial influencer Ollie London reveals plans for a penis reduction surgery. Why? Because he's done research, and apparently the average length of said genitalia in Korea is about 3.5 inches. So he's actually going to go and get a reduction surgery to assume this identity. And to you guys hearing this right now, and I imagine on both the left and the right, this sounds asinine. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds like there's a little bit of lunacy attached to this. Why is it not the same for gender? And you let me know in the comments down below. It is a genuine question that I am posing to you. And if you answer that in the comments down below, and I feel like somebody's made a good argument for it, we will respond to it on the show in the coming days. But tell me, why is it not the same? Because both of these things are socially constructed. But why, if he gets his genitals reduced in a surgery to be more Korean, why is that more offensive than a man getting the same surgery to look like a woman? You let me know. Let me know. Now we're going to get into this video that was posted by Channel 4 Documentaries on May 2nd. This is Ollie London doing a show called Would You Rather, where he goes back and forth with, I believe, an SJW woman talking about his identity. Again, if you're watching on Instagram, head over to my YouTube channel. Link is in my bio, and you can watch this video and react to this craziness alongside me. So let's hear it.
Essentially saying is that you can change your race, and you can't change your race.
I'm Korean. You know, people need to accept that.
Tell me how you racially identify.
I identify as Korean. I used to live in Korea. I was living there for 1 year. I love the culture, I love the history, the people. You know, I've put myself through a lot of pain. I've had a lot of surgical.
Yeah, his surgeries have healed. I don't know that it makes him look any more Korean. Certainly does not sound Korean when I'm looking at him, but we'll continue.
See, just to have more of a Korean aesthetic, I spend a lot of time learning the language, learning how to cook Korean foods. I came out earlier this year, sharing that with the world. People didn't really get it.
She's like, oh. You came out, huh? As Korean, huh? Okay.
Not everybody will understand straight away, but I hope over time people will be kind of more accepting.
She's
with me.
Cringing.
Transracial does not exist. And I think it is very, very harmful for us to push the narrative that it is possible to switch races.
I was not happy the way I was. So I went to Korea and I had the most incredible experience of my life. It changed me, gave me happiness. And people have no right to take that happiness away from me.
Okay, I'm going to cut off there. If you guys are watching on PragerU YouTube, we're saying goodbye to you today. Go to my YouTube channel to watch the rest of the show. I'm going to cut off for Instagram as well. Go to my YouTube channel to watch the rest of the show and see what we're looking at. Bye, guys. Link in bio. Okay. Unbelievable. So another thing that's interesting about this is he's saying, I didn't even have this identity, you know, 8-9 years ago. I went to Korea, I saw it, and I thought, oh, this is what I want to be. So instead of just appreciating a culture, which you can do by learning the language, by learning how to cook their food and doing that at home, you decided to take on this identity, which is what a lot of men and women are doing in this whole trans debate. They're going, you know what? I prefer to be perceived as a woman. I prefer the things that women typically do. I prefer the female stereotypes, or vice versa. Women saying, I prefer the male lifestyle. I prefer male stereotypes. I prefer being perceived as a man. And then going, you know what? I'm just going to identify as it. And not only am I just going to identify like that, I'm going to tell other people that that's what I am. And if they tell me that I'm not, they are bigoted, full of hate speech, they're discriminatory, and something should happen to them. They should be held accountable for not taking on my false reality.
Can't sit up here and say, oh, I'm suddenly a white woman. And if you as a white person say, oh, I can be black or I can be Korean and I can't swap and benefit from the privilege that you benefit from, then it's clearly not an equal exchange. Because whiteness in this country has been set up in a way how I interact in the police, how I interact with the medical system can result in me dying. Cultural appropriation essentially dictates people who are ethnic minority whatever they do isn't really of value. You don't deserve to be associated with something that you've created because a white person has either renamed it or used it for their profit. And you are not a Korean man. No matter how much surgery you do, no matter how much of the aesthetic you adopt,
nobody.
Now I want to put a transgender woman in front of her and I want her to hold the same energy. I guarantee you she will not hold the same energy for somebody who is transgender. Why? Because the argument that you just made is perfectly sound in that situation as well. You're saying, she's saying here that a white man, because of his privilege, cannot take on a marginalized identity because they still carry the white privilege that they have surrounding that. In fact, it is in essence, white privilege to be able to even think that you could identify as another race. It's the same argument used towards Rachel Dolezal. Now, let's look at transgender women, okay? This is men. According to the left, men have privilege in the United States. They run this whole patriarchal institution that we're all living in and we've all been subjected to. But now a man can assume the identity of a woman, an oppressed and marginalized class, according to the left. And they have the power and privilege to be able to do that. And suddenly everybody cheers and claps and lets them join swim teams and beat out all the other females on their teams, going from rank 400 and something to rank number one. And this woman, I can guarantee it, I will bet $1,000 right here, this woman would sit there and go, that's great. I cheer on that woman doing that and being able to swim, and taking on female jobs, taking on female roles in movies, taking on the idea that men can get pregnant. But the logic isn't sound because, again, you're allowing somebody who has privilege, according to your own beliefs, to take on a marginalized and oppressed identity. So is that man who is now a woman suddenly a victim of patriarchy? Have they suddenly been oppressed their whole lives since they've technically been a woman their whole lives? The logic is not sound here. And if we're going to get up in arms about transracialism, hold the same energy, folks.
You can take away what a minority group has been through. But I think when we do combine cultures, and millions of people now do almost adopt a lot of the Korean cultural aspects because through K-pop or K-drama, they love it so much, they then start adopting those, whether that's the hairstyle, whether that's the fashion style, whether they want to go and live in Korea. We all have the right to choose how we identify, to be who we want to be. I'm Korean, you know, people need to accept that.
I think your skin color has a lot to do with everything you're doing. I think we need to recognize that white supremacy is a global issue. What you are essentially saying is that you can change your race and you can't change your race. And I think if you don't recognize that power imbalance in what you're doing and how it's disrespectful to me, you're just kind of proving the point that you're doing this for money and attention.
No, I agree with that. Every person that was, you know, born Asian, they do go through these struggles. But I understand what you're saying in terms of white privilege. I've never had that experience, you know, but I am not one of those people. I am completely different. So I don't like to be put in the same category as someone like that. I understand some people might get offended by what I do, but I'm not actually going out there doing bad things. I'm not doing anything to hurt people. I'm just living my truth. I'm doing what makes me happy.
There it is. Bingo, bingo. My truth, baby. Whenever we have these discussions, you can always keep an eye out and keep an ear out for my truth. If anybody can give me a definition as to what that means, my truth, you can't. And that's part of the trickery of a phrase like that. My truth is subjective. I could tell you all to live by my truth and I could identify as, I don't know, Nia Long. I could come here and identify as Nia Long and say all of y'all are supposed to be in love with me and I'm the girl from the movie Friday. And I'm not. I'm not. But that's my truth. And that's now how you should have to refer to me. That's now how I should be accepted in society and everybody should treat me like Nia Long for the rest of my life. But it wouldn't be true. So you should stop anybody who's having a debate with you or arguing and they go, well that's my truth. Stop right there.
But notice how this woman is not refuting his argument on the basis of your truth is not the truth. Mm-hmm. She's refuting his argument on the basis of you're a white man, so your truth doesn't count. So she's framing her whole argument and staking it on this Marxist power dynamic and saying, well, you are privileged, so you don't get to have your own truth. Everyone else who's oppressed, they get to have their truth. And if you were in a more oppressed class, I would acknowledge that, your truth. But even like you,
she wouldn't.
Yeah. But the point you made, though, is like that she doesn't bring that same energy to the trans woman debate. I guarantee you this woman, she I don't know if we already passed a moment in the video where she acknowledges that he's non-binary.
Oh, we'll get there.
Yeah. So she doesn't bring that same energy to the trans issue. Like if he would be just identifying as trans woman, then she would grant him that truth.
Yep.
But because he's doing transracial, somehow that's cultural appropriation. It's just because of this intersectionality that she's not able to. That she's calling out his logic, but it's not because she's trying to pull him back to reality and say, no, there's your truth and the truth.
Yep. This is where we're headed, ladies and gentlemen. You're watching this video and going, oh my God, that's crazy. It's literally just a peek into the future. It's just a peek into the future because this is going to become commonplace now because everything is subjective. We can all identify as whatever we want and it all goes under the umbrella of my truth. So in 10 years from now, we're going to be arguing with trans age people saying, well, I identify as a 6-year-old boy. And we're going to go, well, that's not possible because you're a white man. If you are a black man, you could identify as a 6-year-old boy. That's the sort of conversations that I imagine us to be having if this is not stopped in its tracks. And if logical, sound people don't start going, no. Absolutely not. I am not going to cater to this in my daily life or outside of that at all. And we'll talk about where people are catering to that at the end of this show just to sort of sum things up. But let's keep watching this debate that I can't believe we're having.
So you identify as queer, right?
Non-binary.
Mm-hmm. Non-binary. Mm-hmm. Okay, I recognize that.
I recognize that. Okay. She recognized a non-binary. So you recognize a man, a privileged class, assuming a less privileged identity. Assuming a marginalized identity. But because he's a white man, which you view as privileged, he cannot assume the identity of being Korean. Oh, your Lord. My head is tangled in knots, having to constantly do leaps and bounds to make arguments in this. And I hope everybody is following because I was not following when I started this journey and I heard these two people speak to one another.
This is where this debate becomes like Tiger King, Joe Exotic versus Carol Baskin. There's no good guy here.
Right.
They're both just like, you know, not arguing from any logical place. And it's just like a train wreck you can't look away from in action because you're seeing these two worldviews that are so untethered from reality clash and intertwine. And it just becomes them trying to work out their illogical views together, and it's just a mess.
Dr. Phil should send all y'all to the ranch. All of them to the ranch for at least 3 summers, okay? I want y'all at the ranch working for 3 summers and then come back to me and try to talk to me about transracialism. I can't stand it.
Thank you.
So if you as a non-binary person are adopting the culture of a minority in a minority, because we know that the queer experience in Korea is, you know,
it's very difficult. That's why I was speaking up, and actually I helped a lot of people by doing that.
What you are doing is really giving white savior. Like, it really is, because you seem to think that you can.
Well, she's at least right about that. All of it's giving savior complex. Everything is giving savior complex because we have to constantly be looking for marginalized and oppressed people and advocate for them because who else is going to do it? But I advocate for them by taking on their identity and saying that I'm a Korean. How is that any different from how you do it? Am I doing more than you are? Blah, 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 blah. If we had never gotten into this argument in the first place and we had just accepted objective truth as objective truth, we would not be here. But unfortunately, we are here. And unfortunately, these are debates that we now have.
Adopt the oppressions of minorities. What do you think you can do as someone who is so far removed from that experience? These people are fearing for their lives.
So do you think it's better for no one to say anything and speak up for these people? I'm speaking up for these people. I'm trying to help these people.
You center those who are affected. You don't center yourself. And that's my problem with you.
Boy, it's better than doing nothing. What do you do? What do you do to help people around the world?
You can't ask me that. You don't get to.
You can't ask me that. You can't ask me that. That valid question. What are you doing? If we all want to sit here and try to out-woke each other, please, at least please come in. I wish in these woke debates they had to come in and be like, here's what my savior personality is doing today, so that you have to have an admission card to get into these sort of debates. Because right now, it's just people who just like to talk back and forth about marginalize this, oppress that, and they aren't doing anything. They like to use people's problems to put a veil over their own arguments. I can guarantee you she's not doing anything. He's most likely not doing anything either, let's be honest. But here we are having this debate about who's more oppressed and blah, blah, blah. You know what I would have preferred? 2 Korean people may be coming and speaking about the issues in Korea. I would rather be watching that video. I would rather be watching.
Right. Is
that
she
video.
Not being a savior on behalf of Koreans?
Yes.
Is she not assuming that role herself?
All of leftism is dependent on people having a savior complex. If you don't have a savior complex, guess what you're not? You're not a leftist. You have to have it. You have to be looking around and going, oh my God, these poor folk below me, how can I help them? And that's how we adopt these ideas of intersectionality, that there are different parts of your identity, that sex, race, class, gender, all of these things come together and you get oppression points for all these different things, so that a black straight person is above a black queer person, is above a trans black queer person. There's so many layers and steps that we can all stand on and look down at all the people who are more oppressed than us and then advocate for them. Advocate, advocate, be an ally. These things that we hear all the time. And it's just an SJW war of, are you, who's doing more? Am I doing more? Are you doing more? And oh, I would never even say that I'm doing anything, because to say that a white person could do anything would just be false constantly. And we've reacted to a video on the old show about, like, six woke people try to figure out who's the most woke and, like, crown the people. And this video's on YouTube. You guys can go and check it out. And they get so far in the trenches of it that the person who's given the crown for being the most woke is like, well, it wouldn't be woke to even take the crown, so I must give it to somebody else. This is where we're at as a society. We're trying to out-woke each other in conversations that do absolutely nothing to further progress.
You get to ask me whether I go to protest or why.
You're criticizing me for doing something which I'm actually helping a lot of people.
You think you're helping people by taking the picture? You don't get to question me, and I'm not even going to entertain
you. Well, you don't get to question me.
Yes, I do. Well, I just did, so what's up?
Well, why can't I question you?
Because I think it's... Well, you're not questioning me because you want to understand what I go through or what I'm doing. You're questioning me because you want to try and find a hole in what I'm saying.
She just said exactly what she's doing to him. She said, you're not questioning me to understand me. You're trying to find a hole in what I'm saying. What is the whole purpose of this interview? Not to understand why he's transracial, but to find holes in it. And this is chef's kiss. Brilliant. I actually love it. And what I love about this is that somebody like Ollie London coming out as transracial just points out every single hole in all the arguments that you try to make. Did you just see how all of it just came crumbling down in less than five minutes watching this video? Because it's illogical, and you have to be illogical in order to reason these things in your brain. And when confronted with two people who are wholly illogical in the things that they believe, and to watch them duke it out, you go, oh my gosh, I don't want any part in any of this. I do not want to be a part of whatever group this is. And this group happens to be progressive leftism. So I'm hoping that so many people see this video and go, wait a second, if she's saying that, then what she says about non-binary and transgender people doesn't make sense either. And if that doesn't make sense, then this doesn't make sense. And then down the rabbit hole you descend, because it exposes itself. And they eat themselves, because revolutions thrive on enemies and victimology. That's what they need. And when they're done with something, they move on to the next. They move on, they move on, they move on, they move on. And that's why you can watch two people who are technically oppressed because of their identities just eat each other alive. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, if you believe this stuff and you are in a, you know, super involved and you believe, you know, hook, line, and sinker in woke ideology, what's going to cause you to wake up, and correct me if I'm wrong, Amala, but is the cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
When you observe something like this, and it's like the narrative that you're pushing and the ideology that you're subscribing to is so detached from reality that I can't ignore that detachment anymore. And my own brain and my own eyeballs, I have to tell them that they're lying to me.
Yep.
As I'm listening to you speak, because it's just completely not real and not true. And, you know, I'm reminded of your story when you heard, you know, I mean, you can tell it better than I, but in those meetings where you heard people cast all white people as racist.
Yep.
And you knew white people who were not. So you're just like, well, how do I reconcile that? And the more those irreconcilable things happen and the deeper that they hit home to you, hopefully that causes people to wake up.
Exactly. So that's what has to happen. Because, yeah, I was hearing all this racism towards white people and going, wait a second, I thought we were anti-racist. And then they tried to, you know, work their way around it and say, well, racism doesn't apply to white people because they're part of this powerful class. And you go, okay, well, it doesn't really make sense. So I can either subscribe to your illogically reasoned argument, or I can go, no, I have to check something else out and I have to see if there's other answers for me elsewhere. I chose elsewhere. The same thing is going to happen here. You either have to come to the conclusion that if you can be transgender and non-binary, you can also be transracial and trans time and trans age. And you'll have to come to that conclusion, or you'll have to go, wait a second, I just saw something that made me question where I stand on these issues. And hopefully you are part of the latter group of people who's willing to do some self-exploration and look in on what you truly believe and admit that what you believe could be wrong. And I'm admitting right now, everything that I believe, there is a possibility that what I believe could be wrong. And if you always keep that in mind, I know nothing, and I'm just trying to find something. I'm trying to find something that's true. By and large, you will have good faith discussions. You will back your arguments in a way that nobody else does, and you will be happier because you actually care about finding truth. You don't care about being right. You don't care about being part of a group and all this tribalism that we're experiencing right now. You care about finding truth. And even if that means that you're wrong about something, and that can be an embarrassing and shameful feeling, you will admit it. And all of this, I would have been this black woman sitting here and arguing with him 4 years ago. I would have been like, sign me up, I'll show up, where do I need to be for the interview, put me in the seat, I will do it. And now I look at that and I just go, wow, there is so much wrong. I would have been so wrong, and I'm so glad I was not ever on video. Well, I take that back. There were a couple videos of me as a leftist, but we've reacted to them, and hopefully that's all we need to do with them. But I'm so glad there is not more documented evidence of my stupidity back then, and that I'm so willing to be like, oh, yeah, I was wrong about that thing I said last episode, but here's me clearing it up. Yeah, what a tangled web we weave, ladies and gentlemen. I was watching this, and I just thought, this has to be talked about. I cannot believe I'm seeing this.
Yeah, she really said the quiet part out loud at the end of the video, too. Oh, gosh, what did she say? You're not trying to understand me. You're trying to find a hole in what I'm saying. Someone who's interested in the truth wants to know if there's a hole in what they're saying. So you signed up for a debate. So if you don't, if you're not open to someone finding a hole in what you're saying, and you just think they need to sit there and listen to you and understand whatever it is that you have to say, let me educate you about the indoctrination that I've been indoctrinated with is really what you're saying. Yeah. And you're not, again, tethered to reality. You're not interested in truth seeking and finding any holes in your logic or any flaws in your arguments. You're literally just saying, I have the right way to see things, and I'm going to teach you and impose that on you. And that just exposes that this is closer to a pseudo-scientific religion worldview that you are involved in and advocating for, rather than trying to debate and have open debate, free speech, and find truth, find a better way to think about ourselves. Or, you know, so it's really not an issue of, like, this isn't even like a left versus right issue. It's mm-hmm. a reality versus pseudo reality.
Yep. And I, when I tell you this is going to be a very hard thing to dismantle, as the left would say, it's going to be very difficult. Because back when I was on the left or whatever, much of what I believed was attached to, you know, my identity as race, but more like how I viewed things socially. And that's a lot easier to attack and let down and go, okay, I was wrong, than to admit that your entire identity is founded in something illogical and that you need to rework that. Imagine how difficult that is, which is why I believe there are lots of people working so hard to have young people educated on this stuff, because young people, if they learn it at a young enough age where their minds are malleable enough to be molded into this idea of the world, they will attach that to who they are as a person and their identity. And oh my gosh, is that a hard wall to break through when somebody views it as integral to who they are as a person. You are going to have the battle of your life trying to convince somebody that that is not true and that there is another, more happier, fulfilled way to live. It is going to be difficult. And it is. It's getting younger and younger and younger. And we're having these discussions in places that should not be having these discussions ever, like kindergarten classrooms. Now, Target, I just did a recent video about this. You can watch it on the channel. Target is bringing on LGBTQ+ brands to sell compression bras, which hide your boobs if you are a young woman or an adult woman, in packing underwear, which you can make yourself look male in if you are a woman. And they're adopting these brands, taking them into their stores. And a lot of people are tweeting about this. Of course, this is a private company. They can do what they want. They can bring in whatever brands that they want. You do not have to shop there then. But people are tweeting about this and saying, this is going to be so great. It's a great place to send trans youth who are struggling with their identity, because they can buy these garments without telling mom and dad, without mom and dad knowing that they've bought them. They can just waltz into Target and take on this identity without anybody knowing, without any professional help, without any psychiatric evaluation, and with nobody being the wiser. That's where we're getting. Young people being attacked by this, and it is being attacked. I know it's packaged in beautiful words like acceptance and appreciation and visibility, but ask, what is this accepting? What are we putting our appreciation towards? What is this making visible? Because it's certainly not the horrific outcomes of this ideology. It's this candy-colored rainbow painting of things that are not happening and ways that this does not end. This does not end well. It does not bode well for our generation. It does not bode well for the future of this country. We've done extensive videos about this. My most recent video that I released on Mother's Day on Sunday is talking about why you should not allow kids to transition and why that should not be a conversation that we are having as a country. And many other countries have done their due diligence, done the research, and came to the same conclusion. I would love if you watch that video. Arm yourself with the discussions that you are going to have in the coming months and days and years in this country, because this is what we're talking about. And this is how crazy it gets. Transracialism, transageism, transtimism. We'll get there eventually if this continues on the path. If you do not arm yourselves, we will certainly get there faster. If you are not willing to educate and learn and have these discussions with people, we will get there much sooner than anyone is willing to admit. So that is my spiel on Ollie London and whether or not you can identify as transracial. If it helps to knock down this transgender stuff that we're dealing with right now in the gender theory, particularly with kids, give Ollie London his own TV show and let people duke it out and talk about it and point out the own chinks in their armor and the holes in all the debates that they're having and all the things that they think to be true. So by all means, give him a platform and let him speak more. We'll be here to react to it. We'll be here to talk about it. And hopefully you guys enjoyed this. If there's something that you wish I said that I didn't, put it down in the comments below after the stream. If there's a question you want to ask, or if you want to give a leftist reasoning for some of the things that I said, like why is transracial different from transgender? Leave that down in the comments below after the stream. We will react to some of those comments later on in the week. Guys, if you want to support me, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live, and go and subscribe to PragerU.com as well, because if all else fails and big tech comes for me and says, I don't want to let this girl speak anymore, she's speaking too much truth, you guys can find us on PragerU.com, and luckily our website will still be there for you. Plus, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you'd like to listen to us throughout the week, maybe when you're working, maybe when you're driving home, you can find us on any podcast app, and go and leave us a 5-star review, because the lefties have come for me and they don't like what I have to say. So they leave us bad reviews so that nobody sees our show. But hopefully you guys can go and reconcile that, boost us back up, get us back to where people are being suggested our podcast to hear this stuff. Thank you so much for watching, and leave a comment down below. Do you believe in transracial identities? I can't imagine any of you are going to say yes to that, but if you do, I would love to know why. Thank you so much for watching. This has been Unapologetic Live, and we will see you tomorrow.